We're studying a book called The Sacred Continuum, and this is the last week. Unconditional Love, Stephanie Sorensen wrote, "In the hush of pure silence that dissolves pain from the past, quiets fears of the future, and nullifies judgment and opinion, unconditional love appears. The voice of God speaking words of love, the universal ear hearing sounds of love, the vision of spirit seeing forms of love, the movement of life expressing love. For unconditional love is what is. I am that love, loving. I am that love, loving." Several people, as we talked of our intentions today, spoke of what happened in Connecticut and the death of children as being something that they wanted to find some comfort in today, some relief, some release. And this quote speaks to me of that. Dissolving the pain from the past, quieting fears of the future, and nullifying judgment and opinion. Nullifying judgment, for it is so easy to move to judgment. And Stephanie went on in the book to say, We often claim our relation to unconditional love in our prayers, our treatments, only to go about our day choosing who we will love, when we will love, or if we will love at all. We decide who is worthy of love, and in the process often determine that we ourselves are unlovable. For with the measure that you measure, it will be measured to you. When we believe that love is something we can withhold or give according to our assessment of merit, we usually find plenty of reasons not to love ourselves and others. Love cannot disappear between our prayers. It comprises the universe. Love is always right where we are, for love is what is perfect. If we are not experiencing and expressing love in every moment, it's not because love is not present. We are born of unconditional love, the only creative impetus. Love is what is everywhere, all of the time, and love is what we are. Sometimes we see things that don't look like love. And we try from our human perspective to open our hearts and know the truth. You know, where is the love here? Where is the love there? Where is the love? And my personal comfort often comes from the map of human consciousness that I talk about all the time, that was created by David Hawkins, that's illustrated in the book Power Versus Force. And he starts out with a scale of 1,000, where 0 is shame and guilt and grief, and moves into fear, and then anger and revenge, and then pride and courage. And then at the level of courage, you move from the not conducive for life emotions to the build-up emotions. What he calls under 200 is the catabolic state. It's where the body doesn't thrive and the organism is degenerating, to the positive emotions, which are willingness and acceptance and allowing and non-judgment and reason and understanding and love and unconditional love. That's 500 is love, 400 to 500 is reason, between 200 and 400 is allowing and acceptance, and above 500 is 540 is unconditional love, 600 is joy. And above 600 is bliss and ecstasy, and he gets kind of nonverbal in those areas. Hard to put words to those states of true bliss and ecstasy. And 1,000 is oneness, the energy of Jesus and Buddha and mystics of all religious traditions and nations. And that chart helps me in times of judgment. Because one time, David and I were watching a video of David Hawkins talking about that chart, and he just had it all up on a chart from here to here, and he took a sweeping gesture of his arm, and he said, of course it's all love. It's love expressed as shame and guilt and rage and fear and courage and allowing and reason and joy. It's all love. It's love expressed as fear. It's love expressed as rage. It's love expressed. It's all love. There isn't anything but love. The expression of love sometimes so doesn't look like love because it's not where we are. But to people who are at that level of consciousness, that's what love looks like. It may look like a suicide bomber or a serial killer. It may look like a saint or a sage. It may look like the person walking by you on the street. It may look like the cashier at the grocery store. What does love look like? It looks like everything that is. From a global, universal, God-like I, it's all love. Gives me goosebumps to say it. It's all love. How do we deal with that from our human perspective? How do we deal with it? Two weeks ago, on a Saturday, I was expecting a whole bunch of people at my house for a workshop. And one of my friends arrived and said, Terry's not coming, she's not feeling well today. And that precipitated a whole series of events that led to Terry's transition into non-physical on Wednesday of this past week. And I had lunch with her 2 weeks ago for her birthday. And on Saturday, she wasn't well enough to come to a workshop at my house. And on Sunday, she went into the hospital and was in the ICU for 11 days, and she made her transition. And I had the opportunity to take what I learned at that workshop and what my other two friends that were at the hospital almost every day also learned at that workshop and apply it in every moment that we were at the hospital as best we knew how, to be the presence of unconditional love with all of the people who gathered to deal with the fact that this youngest of our group of friends was now in the hospital and didn't look like it was likely that she would ever leave the hospital. And this is what Abraham Hicks said at that workshop that touched me so deeply. The guest asking the question said to Abraham Hicks, I've always known that I'm here on the planet for a very, very big purpose, and I know that I am here to bring a lot of light to the world. And Abraham said, we want to give you something that will help you right away. You're not here to bring light into the world. You are here to be light. There is a difference. Because when you decide you're going to bring light, you're looking around in dark corners. When you decide you are going to be light, you just be light. And everywhere you be, it's brighter. That's a big difference. To be light means to bring the brightness to everywhere you are, to every situation, to bring the light. And so my friends and I decided that we wanted to be light, and in the being light, to brighten what we were going through with our friend. And there were so many things that happened during that time that were very, very powerful for me personally. And it took me back to the time not so very long ago, 3 years ago, when our friend Kate Hannigan went into the hospital and was assigned to hospice care, and we knew that there wouldn't be much longer that we would be with Kate in the physical. And I wrote a book during that time period called Chatting with the Beloved. And so every day I was talking to God, which I call Beloved, about what was happening to me in my life. And I went back during this time in this past week and read what the Beloved, who I call B, said about Kate. And so I said to the Beloved, "The idea of losing Kate so suddenly is shocking. I don't want to say goodbye to my friend." And B said, "We suggest you loose Kate. You can never lose her. The love that you share is forever. In the same way you can talk to us and your mom, you can talk to Kate. Her eternal being is bright and expanded from the life known as Kate. She's been such a source of love and inspiration for so many." I said, "What would it be like to lose her?" B said, "Remember Ernest Holmes saying, loose the boundaries of your sense of self and let in more spiritual territory. We want you to loose the boundaries of your sense of Kate and let in your awareness of the infinite and eternal nature of her being now." My husband, Cliff, made his transition 18 years ago next month. And one of the things I used to say was that I was willing to learn to love big enough to transcend even his physical life. And B repeated that to me. They said, "With Cliff, you used to say you were willing to learn to love big enough to transcend even physical presence. That's truly unconditional love. Your beloved doesn't even need to have a physical body. That experience with Cliff helped set you up for our relationship because we are also the beloved, unconditionally loved and loving without a physical body. So is Kate. You are all a dynamic part of the infinite consciousness of love. You could see yourself as a mere drop in the bucket, and most of you do. But the true nature of your being is more like an infinite wave in the ocean of love rather than just a drop in the bucket. Your physical form is a beautiful bucket that you pick up and lay down with ease from your non-physical perspective. As we said yesterday, it's just life and life and life and life. And life, life, life and life and more life, infinitely, intimately, exquisitely expressing love." They were always very affirmative of me when I was writing the books, and they said, "You're doing a good job writing this down as we're saying it. The infinity of love cannot be contained by a bucket of words either, but it can be expressed as a wave of love captured by a heart overflowing as a vibrational resonance. Other hearts are feeling and answering your expanded allowing already. Consciousness travels telepathically. In your writing these words, you are grounding our love in the human vibration more fully than without them. Everyone can choose to ground our love in the physical. Each one will discover a unique expression for themselves. Each one who makes the choice to open their hearts to divine love will make an enormous contribution, even if they never share a word of it with anyone else directly." Being love. How do we be the love that we are? Well, we can't help it. No matter what we are being love, expressing in some way. And in the hospital, in the last 2 weeks, I got to see love expressed as anger and love expressed as fear, love expressed as rage, love expressed as grief, Love expressed as sorrow and sadness. Love expressed as joy and the happiest of memories. Love expressed as generosity and kindness and peace. I got to see love expressed as service in the people who were contributing to the care of my friend, both on the hospital staff and among her friends. I got to see unconditional love in the family, who embraced so many interfaith traditions. The charismatic Christians sitting with the Catholics, sitting with the metaphysical airy fairy folks, and all bringing our awareness of love and healing and grace. And so there were multiple last rites from the priests, and there were healing circles of energy workers and massage therapists. There were Reiki treatments and praying over and laying on of hands. And all of it was embraced and welcomed because there was such love there. And the love transcended all of the problems, even the rage and the threats and the grief and the fear, all of it taking place, because all of it is part of the grief experience. You know, you go through the stages of grief. You go through the bargaining and the denial and the anger and the sorrow and the grief and the ultimate acceptance. And you go through it all again and again and again, and the joy of the love is ever present there as well. It's all mixed up. It's all mixed up. And the people who are in the moment of anger are feeling better than those moments of fear. And they're feeling better than those moments of shame and guilt because they didn't do what they wanted to do in that moment when they had the opportunity. And the first night, I went over to the hospital at 10:30 at night, and all of my friends who are part of this seven-woman group showed up at the hospital that night to be with our friend. It was pretty amazing, and we were there until 1 o'clock in the morning, and we did our circle of the way we express healing and connection and love. And when I went back to get in my car, there was a song playing on the radio, and it was the Chris Allen, I think is his name, song called Live Like You're Dying. And in it says, tell them you love them when you have the chance to say it. And that really was my feeling through the 10, 11-day period until Terry made her transition, is that I really wanted to reach out and tell everybody I love that I love them. That whenever they go, the love still exists. And the morning after, I got an email from a friend who sent another Abraham quote out that said, so if there's anything that Jerry, who made his transition last year, Esther's husband who channels Abraham Hicks, if there was anything that Jerry wanted the world to understand, it's that it's okay. No matter what, it's okay. And so often we judge that it's not okay. But in meditation one time, I heard the words, knowing the end of the movie changes the quality of the experience. And the words that followed that were, life is eternal. Life is eternal, and that's the end of every movie. It's the beginning of the next phase of the eternal. And most of you have heard this story a gazillion times, but we have a guest, so I get to tell it again. Hooray. At my mother's funeral, I asked her the same question I'd asked her every day of the last year of her life when I talked to her on the phone. Who's there with you, Mom? And she would tell me, oh, your father's here, and your grandfather's here, and my sister's here. And one time she even said I was there, because I was not there. That time she was in the hospital, I was in Chicago, and she said, you're the only live person that ever showed up in the corner. I think it's because you meditate so much. Anyway, I said to her, after she was no longer physical, who's there with you, Mom? And she said the most joyful word I've ever heard. She said, everybody. There is no difference from that perspective of the physical and non-physical. We are all one. We are all gathered in love. And that is the unconditional nature of love. It's oneness. It's beauty, it's harmony, it's peace. Whether it's expressing as rage or anger or fear or shame or guilt or joy or ecstasy or bliss, it's all love. So we breathe into love and we open our hearts to the possibility of love in every place, in all of time. And we have the opportunity in this week that they've called the end of times and the beginning of times, because we know the end of the movie is eternal life, eternal love. This week, we have the opportunity to ground that knowing that every expression is love. And we open our hearts and our consciousness and our experience to bringing that love that is the love that God is to this planet in our human life. It isn't always easy in the face of contrast to remember that it's all love. But that's our challenge, our opportunity, and our ultimate joy. And so it is.
So it is.